We've been in this series, Keys to Freedom. And the past few weeks, we've kind of unlocked four keys so far. We've talked about committing and connecting to Christ in the very first week, how it all starts and ends with Christ. Then we went into renewing your mind and what it looks like, and what goes in is what comes out, and kind of the self-control and how we control our thoughts. And then we got into healing life's hurts, and we all get hurt in life. And what does that look like? What is that process of healing? What does it look like to be healed from things that hurt us, inward and outward? And then last week, Brother Mark gave a great message on choosing to forgive, what it looks like to forgive, which can be, for some I've even spoke to, it can be the hardest thing sometimes, is to forgive. Even as a Christian, forgiving don't come easy. So it's one of the hardest things. Well, this morning it's going to be the fifth key, and it's breaking generational patterns. That's the title this morning, is breaking generational patterns. And it really is all going to come down to what I just kind of said in my prayer, is every one of us in here have been impacted by some kind of pattern in our life. We've either been handed down something, we're creating a pattern. Patterns are all over this world that we live in. How does that tie in to freedom? How do we break that? And our focus is really going to be on what it all comes down to, because it's not about self-help where we go around and find out what everybody's problem is and this is how you fix it. This is how you fix yours. See, I want to address the root of the problem. And the root of the problem applies to all of us in here. So you all can tune into this the entire time. And it's sin. It's the pattern of sin in our life. And that's what needs addressed, is the severity of it. How do we deal with that? That's going to be about breaking these generational patterns. Our focus scripture, we're going to start off in John 3. It's going to be on page 1108, and it's going to be verses 1 through 8. And then we're going to go to Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. And we're going to end in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Sounds like a lot, but it's going to be a nice, simple approach. Our approach this morning is going to be three sections, three steps. Those are going to be our three main sections of Scripture, and we're going to draw a main step from each one of those on how we break these generational patterns and break the sin in our life. So, with that, I want to ask you right off the bat this morning, what is it in your life? What's the pattern in your life right now, the sinful pattern that needs to break? And we all have it. If I ask you if everybody in here still sins, I'm sure you would shake your head and raise your hand, because we all still sin. So you have it. Because if you've sinned and done it more than once, guess what? It's a pattern. And we all have them. What is yours? As I ask you that question, I want you to be thinking of that for a moment. And I'm going to give some examples in a moment. But you all come in here with a way that you're not reflecting Christ the way you want to. You do the things you don't want to do. That's the pattern. And we're going to talk about that. Each word, breaking, generational, patterns, let's fit it together for a moment. What's breaking? It's to separate, to remove. What's generation? It's a time period. So we're going to remove the patterns that's in our life that's either always been in them, that may be in somebody else's. We have kids, we have grandkids, they see us, they hear us, we react and respond the way we shouldn't do, say things we shouldn't say. Any way that we don't reflect Christ the way we should, how do we address that? That brings it all together. And when this God was putting this message on my heart this morning, I was kind of blown away, because he woke me up to how patterns are everywhere and everything that we do. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, look at our world. Our education system is all about patterns. It's letters, it's numbers, it's shapes, it's colors. There's patterns everywhere in the world. All of our lives, you have positive patterns, negative patterns. You have things you've inherited as a pattern, things you haven't inherited, but you've learned it. We've always heard people say, that's all I've ever known. Well, that's the way you do it. It makes me think of a story I heard in this study I was doing. This man, his wife would cut the ends off a roast when she would put it in the oven. So he says, why do you cut the ends off the roast when you put it in the oven? And she said, well, that's what my mom did. And he says, okay. So he goes to his mother-in-law and he says, why do you cut the ends off the roast when you put it in the oven? Why do you do that? And she said, that's what my mom did. And he says, okay. So he goes to his wife's grandma and he says, your granddaughter, they cut the ends off the roast when they put it in the oven. Why do you do that? She said, I don't know why they do it, but I do it because it wouldn't fit in my oven. See, we have these patterns, and we don't always have to do them. Sometimes we just do them because that's what we know and that's what we've learned. And for some of us, that's the situation in our life. We need to ask, why do we do what we do? Positive, negative, inherited, not inherited. Why do we do what we do? And it's so important to ask the question, that simple why. I know for me in my life, I brush my teeth the same way every single morning. And I wash up the same way every single morning. I bet you if you took a stopwatch and timed me, I'd be within 5 seconds of how I get to get around every morning. I do the same thing. And just, that's what I'm used to. On a more serious note in my life, I would say that I would like to think of it as a positive pattern is my work ethic. I feel like I try to give every work hard in what I do, and I feel like I've learned that as I've grown up. A negative one, I would say, is doubt, lack of trust. I always have had a thing where I wouldn't call it anxiety, but I worry a lot, and we're not to worry. I can trust God, but I doubt a lot. That's a negative pattern that I do. I respond that way too often. I don't reflect Christ in that way because I don't trust God and what God says he will do, and that he has me in my situation right where he wants me. What's yours? I know for some of you, you follow a pattern. I watch you do it each week. You come in, you sit in the same seat basically every week in here. You follow a pattern. What about on a more serious note for you? I've asked it at the beginning. What's got your heart right now? The positive ones are easy, right? We don't focus on them much because that can tell us where our skills and our gifts are a lot. But those aren't what's hard. What's hard usually is the sin, the negative sinful pattern. What's yours? Is it jealousy? Is it resentment? Is it bitterness? Is it not being able to forgive? Gossip? Lying? Maybe it's substance abuse. Maybe it's pornography. What are you doing over and over again that's sinful that you shouldn't be doing? God's word is going to teach us this morning in a three-step approach of just what we need to do and what we need to have to break it, because it's not something that you and I can do. And it can be hard, right? I mean, let's just admit it. We're all in this boat together. Life can be hard because we do the things we don't want to do and we don't do the things that we want to do sometimes. And for me, it's like this Rubik's Cube. This came out on the shelves in 1980, and I've never been able to figure out this pattern. And my life's like that. Sometimes I feel like I just can't figure it out. I feel like every time I turn, sometimes it makes it more confusing. The fact that this could be a finished product and a finished pattern blows my mind. I've never been able to do it or figure it out. And that's how I feel like my life is sometimes. I feel like sometimes the more I go, the more I turn, I get more confused. Is there an end in sight? Will God fulfill the work that he promised he would do in me? Because it's hard. Now, I have to admit, I haven't been willing to put in the work to figure this out either. I did it when I was little, and I didn't pick it up again until about 2 weeks ago when I was going to be preaching on this topic. So I haven't put in the work. I haven't learned how. I haven't listened how to do it. I haven't done my part to figure it out. I'm actually on step 6 out of step 7, though, just so you know. I have been listening now. So I'm getting closer to figuring this thing out. But does your life feel like this? Does that relate to you that your life, yeah, you kind of get that. You feel like a Rubik's Cube sometimes. You haven't got life figured out all the way. And sometimes you feel like you're getting more confused. Well, I got great news for you this morning. God knows all about patterns. We just did it this morning when we set our clocks ahead. We see it all year long with spring, summer, winter, fall. We see it every day of our lives with day and night. We see it all throughout Scripture. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, who's ever read about the erection and the building of the tabernacle? That thing is all pattern. This is the colors. This is the size. This is how you do it. This is how long it is. It's all about pattern. And we know that in the Bible, it's a constant pattern of sin and rebellion, and also a constant pattern of love and forgiveness. God knows your pattern, and he knows all about them. This morning, speaking of generations, we're going to start where it all began, and then we're going to go from there, because that's, we got to get to the root of the problem, and it starts with Adam and Eve, right? The sin that entered mankind, that entered humanity. And when we talk about inheriting negative patterns, that's the biggest one of them all, right? Inheriting sin and death from the first Adam. God's word tells us in Romans 5, and you don't have to flip there. I'll just read. It's a couple verses. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We inherited it because of the first Adam. We can't break it. But thankfully, it don't end there. In verse 15, just a few verses later, says, but. There's a big but right there. It says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. We have the last Adam. That's how we break it in Jesus Christ. And that's actually going to flow pretty well into our first point this morning as we get ready to read John 3, is what must we have to even begin to have freedom? Because we can't have true freedom without it. See, and we have access to it when we have Jesus. I'm going to read John 3, then I'm going to read the point, and we're just going to simplify and apply this morning. We're going to read the text, we're going to make it simple, and we're going to apply it to our life. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. I want to stop right there for a moment and talk about Nicodemus, okay? Because this is important. Nicodemus knew three things, and possibly a fourth, if you ask me. But Nicodemus knew patterns. Because I'm using Nicodemus for a reason this morning, because he was a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the 70 members of the Sanhedrin, and this man knew all 613 laws, that this is how you live, this is what you do. You talk about pattern. He knew all about it. Nicodemus did. It's a great example, and we can relate to that, like we just gave the example. We know all about patterns. He also knew there was something special about Jesus. He says, we know that nobody can do the things you do unless God is with them. So he knows patterns. He knows there's something special about that sweet name of Jesus. And he knew that people were changing. If you look in chapter 2, right before chapter 3, I believe it's verse 23, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem, I can't see the little verse number because my glasses aren't on. I should have put them on, but we'll go with 23. So now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed, here it is, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. See, Nicodemus seen something else. People were changing. Why Nicodemus? Why this? Because it's you and me, brother and sister. We know patterns, and we know there's something special about the name of Jesus, that beautiful name. And we know that when you have Jesus, things change. That's why, and that's important to know. So let's look at Jesus now. Let's see what Jesus says, which I love this, because Nicodemus says, hey, we know there's something special about you. We know God is with you. And Jesus just cuts to the chase, because this is the most important news he could ever give Nicodemus. He says, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old and enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, here it is, this is where our first point's going to come from, is right here in verse 5, so please pay special attention to this. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We're going to come back to that. Do not marvel what I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus a couple big things right here. First, he's saying, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't be saved without being born again. It's not when the mother's water breaks. It's not your natural water or birth that gets you anywhere. That's your physical bloodline. That's your physical DNA. You got to be born of the living water. You got to receive the Holy Spirit and be born of the living water. You got to believe in Jesus, which brings us to our first point. Our new birth comes with a new bloodline and a new identity. I'll say it again. Our new birth comes with a new bloodline and a new identity. See, it's not the physical bloodline, the physical DNA. Because what else does Jesus tell him? This is the other big main thing. and was in verses 5 and 6. He says, the flesh is flesh. Without the Spirit, without being born again, the flesh is flesh. He's saying, Nicodemus, everything that you're doing, and Nicodemus felt he did a lot of positive patterns. See, the Pharisees thought they had favor with God. He's a Jew, he's a Pharisee, he's earning his own way, he's doing these things, all these positive patterns in his life, yet they were for nothing. See, everything we do in our life, quitting a bad habit's a great thing to do. It's good for your health, it's nice, but I've always said it and I'll keep saying it, without Christ it's just nice, because you're still going to hell. You still are going to be separated, and you still are dead in sin, because you don't have the access, you don't have what it takes. You're not born again, you don't have Jesus Christ. It says it right there. A new birth, a new bloodline, a new identity. That's two huge things that he tells him right there. And that's why it's step one. It's because without step one, forget step two, step three, and forget freedom. And forget keys to freedom. Because it all is about Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And without him, we're lost and we're blind. Two huge things. And that leads us in to point two. When I talk about new identity, I'll go ahead and give you the second fill-in. The second fill-in, the first ended with a new identity. So the first one starts with a new self. Our new self comes with a new pattern of constant surrender and submission. Our new self comes with a new pattern of constant surrender and submission. Because praise God, Jesus didn't end there with Nicodemus and say, flesh is flesh. He said, spirit is spirit. When you're born again, you have what you need. You have the Holy Spirit. So you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have everything you need to have freedom. Now, many in here right now would say, yeah, that's easy. This might be the easiest sermon I've ever heard. Step one, believe in Jesus. I'm a new bloodline, new identity. Got it. Check the box. I'm there. I'm saved. I'm not in the flesh. Well, then I got you. Don't get too cocky yet. Because step two is, I think, where maybe some of us are at. And step three is even harder. So it's going to get challenging now, okay? Step two, that new self comes with a new pattern of constant surrender and submission. See, that's where it can get hard. Because who would say when they came to believe in Jesus, life was a piece of cake and got easy? Nobody. Because sometimes it gets harder. So putting on that new, it's hard to learn new tricks. Learning that new pattern, how do I take off my old self and how do I put on my new? That, because we're going to get into that in a moment. How do I constantly surrender and submit? What does that look like? Well, we're going to go to Ephesians 4 for that. Ephesians 4 on page 1219. We're going to be in verses 17 through 24. I'm actually throwing on the glasses this time, so I can tell you the verse numbers. Notice your heading says, the new life. What did we just say? Our new self was point two, right? The heading there even says, the new life. So here's where it gets hard. Paul, which is another great example, because we can relate to Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul persecuted. He was in a pattern of persecuting the church and persecuting Christians. Then he got in a pattern, because he came to know Jesus Christ, of being persecuted. He went to a pattern of getting beat, being chained, Dave spoke earlier about being in chains. Paul knew all about that. He was in a pattern of it because of his belief in Jesus Christ. It got real hard for him. And here's where he can really relate to us, and us to Paul, is in Romans 7. I'll give you a quick example, and then we'll get in and read our section in Ephesians. But here's how good he relates to us, the writer of what we're getting ready to read. Paul says, for I do not understand my own actions. Does that sound like you right there? For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And then a few verses later he says, but now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Because he knew he didn't have the flesh no more. He had the Spirit. That's who's writing the book of Ephesians. So we can relate with Paul. And here's what he says in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. So right there, how do we walk? Not like the world, not like the Gentiles do. We're not in the flesh no more. We're different. See, because they walk in the futility of their minds, it says at the end of verse 17. They are darkened in their understanding. alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. See, they don't have the vision, like we sang earlier in the hymn, Be Thou My Vision. The world don't have that because they don't have Jesus. We, when we have the Spirit, have the proper understanding. We want that perspective, that wisdom that we sang about. So it's different. Verse 19 says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Every kind of impurity is huge there, because that means a lot of different things. And in verse 20 says, but that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. See, I love that, not the way you learn Christ. Because when we don't know of Christ, but we know Christ, that's a big deal. That's different. Because you don't just know the name of Jesus. You've been taught about him. You've been in God's word and learned the truth. What is the truth? What does God's word say? What is Jesus? I want to know about Jesus. What would Jesus do? We all remember hearing that. That's a huge statement, because that's how we want to reflect. That's how we want to reflect, break the pattern. That's why we want to do it. Not for ourselves. We want to do it so we reflect Jesus Christ more in this world we live in. We want to do it to bring God glory. That's what it's all about. Not for ourselves. We learn Jesus Christ. We learn what he would do and why we do what I... It even says at the verse... End of verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus. When you know Jesus, you know truth, and you want to know his word. That's how you know how to break your patterns. And then in verse 22, here it is. This is what we're going to see, how many of us can do this well. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. So what does that take to take off the old and put on the new? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes getting out of the way. And that's hard for some of us to do. See, when I said surrender and submit, that's huge, because that's what we have to do. We got to hand it all over to God. We got to get on our knees. We got to pray. We got to be in God's word. We got to get out of the way. You ever wanted somebody else to get out of the way? In the grocery store, when you got five items, they got 150. Especially right now, when you either got to do it yourself or stand with the one cashier that's in the whole store. Yeah, you want people to get out of the way, right? Or maybe you're driving down the road. Maybe you're on your way to church this morning, and you're running late, and you want people to get out of the way, right? See, sometimes we need to get out of the way. I said this probably almost a couple years ago, that we're not able. We got to get out of the way because we're disabled, and we got to go to God. And you got to put the G-O in front of disabled, because do that once. What does it spell when you put G-O in front of disabled? God is able. God's the one. We go to God. We got to remove ourselves, and we got to get out of the way. And that's hard for some of us to do. I love a quote from Billy Graham talking about taking off the old self, putting on the new. Billy Graham says, when we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God. When we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God. When we want to get out of the way, that's where it all begins. And that's what must happen, is we gotta just, the old isn't going to work. It reminds me of Donna and I when we go to take a trip. There's a destination far away, and we ask ourselves, will the old car make it? Is there going to be anything new that we need to get there? Oil change, brakes, what's going to be needed to get us to where we need to go? Because we doubt the old car is going to make it. See, that's how our life is. We're not getting anywhere in our old self. And there is no doubt it's not going to make it. But see, it's like having a brand new car that there's no way you could afford sitting right in your garage. And there's no doubt that car is going to get you where you need to go. It's brand new and beautiful. And you can't afford it. But see, Jesus can. And Jesus' name is beautiful. You got to get out and get in. Put on the new self, because Jesus will get you where you need to go. You want to know how to break the negative sin in your life, which you came in here? You can't. You got to surrender, submit. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, the encouraging part is you have the access. The hard part is just learning that habit. I've heard so many people say, you know what I struggle with is discernment. I struggle with when it's God talking to me. You know what? Don't ever give up on that. Because that's when it's beginning. You're getting out of the way so you can let God work. And when you have the Spirit, it's all by the Spirit. But who puts something on? Who dresses yourself in the day? And then you just stand there like this all day. You just get dressed and you stand there. Or you just lay all day. Some of you lay around all day. I know that. No. But who does that? Who just gets dressed and does nothing all day? Nobody. See, because that's going to bring us to our third point this morning. Because it leads right into that. And we're going to get that in Galatians 5. But our third point this morning is we talked about our new self and putting off the old, putting on the new. Well, when you put on the new, what do you got to do? You got to move. You got to do something. You got to walk. Our third point is our new walk comes with a new perspective and follows the pattern of the Holy Spirit. Our new walk comes with a new perspective and follows the pattern of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be in Galatians for that, and it's going to tie in well. Because how did we just learn that we don't walk the way of the world, the way of the Gentiles, the unbelievers? That's how we don't walk. Well, Galatians 5 is going to start right off with how we do walk. Verse 16, page 1215, if you're using the Bible that's provided for you. Page 1215, we're going to start in verse 16. And even says, subheading says this one too, actually. Now that I'm looking, it says, keep in step with the Spirit. Kind of what our third point says. I'll start reading. But I say, Paul says, walk by the Spirit. I have to tell you real quick, when I read walk by the Spirit, what came to my mind is when I walk with Donna. She always teases me that I walk way out in front of her. If we're going somewhere and I see some head shaking, and I think other people might do this as well, I walk fast. I got to slow down constantly, and I look behind me all the time, like, is she coming? And then I wait for her. I just walk way out in front of her. See, I don't know what Donna's telling me. If I'm walking way out in front of her, I'm not beside of her. I'm not in step with her. I can't hear a word she's saying to me. We can't do that with the Spirit either. If we're not walking in step with the Spirit, how can we ever expect to hear the guiding, the direction, what the Spirit is telling us? We got to walk in step with the Spirit. So Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what happens when we walk with the Spirit? It says it right there. We've talked about the flesh and the sin and what we inherited. Well, when you walk by the Spirit, you don't gratify those desires. You don't desire to respond the way you're desiring, responding no more, because you see the bigger picture. You see that maybe that person you're mad at or that angered you, maybe they need to see Jesus through you. Maybe it's not about you. Maybe that's an opportunity for you to reflect Jesus Christ in them, and they need to see the love of Jesus. Maybe if it's yourself, it's an opportunity for you to grow in Christ and reflect Jesus more in your own life and realize that if God forgives you and if God is enough, then just you got to use his power and you got to forgive yourself and trust God. Maybe it's an opportunity for you. And when you walk in the Spirit, we get enlightened with those things. We don't desire the things of the flesh. And it says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you, like we've talked about a couple times this morning, so this fits well, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And I love that opposed, because that's a big deal. It's a spiritual war, and sometimes that's not talked about enough. But that's why we can't do it. Because we can't handle it. It's a spiritual war. It's a battle of sin. It's a battle of Satan. It's a battle of an enemy. There's no way you and I can even touch that surface. We got to have the Spirit. Who's ever watched boxing or an MMA fight or a sporting event where they do like the tail of the tape? Yeah, you've seen it. I see some head shaking. They tell you the height, the weight, the reach, where they're from. They tell you everything about each opponent and each person in the war. The battle that they're going to be in. And the same in a sporting event. Whoever's going to be going against each other and opposed to each other, it tells you the formation, the players. You learn so much about both. See, I'm saying that for a reason, because you're getting ready to hear the tale of the tape about the two opponents, the flesh and the Spirit. I'm going to pick up in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here you go. Here's your tale of the tape. Here's what it looks like to walk in the flesh. See if any of these hit home with you. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and if none of those got you, and things like these, that's big, because that means anything that's not reflecting Christ and that's sinful in your life fits in that category. See, that's the tail of the tape with the flesh. But that word for do in there, the when it says do these things, that word all implies practice, because many of us have done those things, but it's not our pattern. It's not what we desire. It's not what we do. It's not what we practice. We repent, we're forgiven, and we despise that. We turn away from that. But there's many in here that practice that. That's the way the flesh is getting the best of them right now. They're doing the things they don't want to do. And in verse 22, well, actually it says, I warned before that those who do such things in verse 21 will not inherit the kingdom of God. We talked about inheritance. We talked about Jesus to Nicodemus. You can't enter the kingdom in the flesh. We talked about what we did inherit when we come into this world, the flesh. And it says right here, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God if you're walking the way of the flesh. And that's what many of us are fighting not to do. But there's a nice, in verse 22, and I love this, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Tell me if any of these remind you of yourself. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That new pattern of following the step of the Spirit. Living in the fruit of the Spirit. See, those are the hard ones. Those are the ones that many pray about. They say, God's not answering my prayer. He just won't give me patience. I prayed for patience. Well, is he not giving you patience? Or is he giving you an opportunity to be patient? That's something to scratch your head and think about a little bit. God answers prayers when they're in accordance with his will. But that's our third point. We got to keep in step with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. So to bring this all together as we get ready to close this morning, our key point this morning at the very bottom, if you got the feelings, is breaking generational patterns comes by identifying and taking authority over them based on my authority as a follower of Jesus. And I want you to circle the word as in there because that's huge, because that brings all three of our points right together this morning. It's because you're a follower of Jesus Christ that you have the access to be able to do it, the new bloodline to do it, the new identity, the new self, the pattern to even be able to take off the old and put on the new, because you have the Spirit, so you're able to do that. And to be able to walk in the Spirit, it all comes back to Jesus Christ. And we identified some patterns. At the very beginning, I asked you, what's yours? It's because of this. The main key point says, identify and take authority over them. What is yours, and what are you going to do about it? Because, brother and sister, I have to remind you this morning, and if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I got to tell you this morning, your freedom is in Jesus Christ. It's in his nail-scarred hands and his nail-scarred hands alone and nothing else. If you want freedom from the things of this world, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want freedom for the things that God has for you in this world, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the same answer every time. It's that cross and the nail-scarred hands. I love the words of this song. I'm going to read to you. It's this. The song was called Nail-Scarred Hands. And when we're talking keys and we're talking freedom and we're talking the patterns in our life, listen to this. It says, my past became my prison. Is that any of you? You got that pattern in your life, you just can't break it. And like Dave said, it's captive. It's imprisoning you. It says, my past became my prison. Love was waiting with the key. My story was my failure. Now my story is redeemed. My freedom's written in your nail-scarred hands. Where there was sin and shame, the cross now stands. The grave no longer tells me who I am, because my freedom's written in your nail-scarred hands. And I love how God's word tells us that this world, it gets us sometimes, but he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. It's through Jesus Christ. So I just ask you this morning as I get ready to close this in prayer, whatever it is that God put on your heart this morning, that generational pattern, and remember, that's a time period. Maybe you inherited it and it's annoyed you. Maybe you think there's no way out. You have a new bloodline. There is a way out. Maybe you didn't inherit it, and it's just what you've known. You've been putting that, you've been cutting the ends off that roast and putting it in the oven over and over and over again. And really, you don't need to be doing that anymore. There's a way out, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever yours is, I ask that you surrender and submit. And many of us in here have been Christians for years. You would agree with me, I'm pretty sure, that that's the hard part, is learning that new pattern because of the new covenant we have in Jesus Christ. Laying it all down, getting out of the way, surrendering and submitting to Him, and then walking, getting up and walking in the Spirit, and handling things that we don't want to necessarily handle it that way. But it's not the flesh. You got to let the Spirit, who's opposed to the flesh, win that victory, not yourself. Let me close this in prayer.